John chapter number 13. As I have always said, I am very burdened of the Lord here today. I believe I have a message on my heart that needs delivering. And I don't understand all of God's ways. So I cannot, I just don't know. I don't know all of God's ways and how he does and what he does. So, but I know his ways are perfect.
Right.
Yes. I know his ways are perfect. Amen. And so I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to keep believing in the promises of the Word. John chapter number 13. And I'm going to begin reading with verse number 34. John 13, 34. Jesus speaking here. A new commandment I give unto you. Everybody say, that's me.
That's me.
Maybe you should have read the rest of the scripture before you say that. Nah, that's still you.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Whether you read it or you didn't read it before, or you know what it's going to say, it's still you.
Amen.
Amen? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you. As I have loved you. That ye also love one another. And by this love that you have one toward another, by this love that I have loved you with, all men shall know that ye are my disciples. Then he says, if. You see how all of this is, there's a lot of intricate pieces here. I'm not going to take a lot of time, but a lot of times we just blow over all this. Because we've heard this before, but I'm going to tell you, our religious world has become nothing more than a fraud.
Right.
That's right.
I want to preach to you Jesus, the real Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
I want to preach to you the real Jesus, because our religious society, no matter what organization, no matter what denomination, has really become very fraudulent.
All right.
Yes. Extremely deceptive. And this is how. Because most of what we hear is a just believe and you shall be saved.
Right.
Just do this and you're going to be saved. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, it's going to take more than just believing. You're going to have to obey Jesus in all of his commandments. I don't want to be a fraud. I don't want to be a phony. I don't want to be a fake.
Right.
I may not do everything right, and I am definitely far from perfection.
Right.
But I don't want to be a fraud.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, well, what's the difference? There's a big difference there. I want to be able to look at myself in the mirror and say, that's you. And this is where you need to work on.
Right.
This is what you need to do. Amen. If ye have love one for another, you're going to be called a disciple of Jesus. If you flip a few pages real quickly, I know you think you're standing forever. I'll stand the rest of the service and you'll be seated here in just a minute. Turn a few pages over to chapter number 15. Chapter number 15 and verse number 10. Chapter 15 and verse number 10 says, if, everybody say if. If you keep my commandments. If, and I'm sorry, I got to do this for myself. I got to do this for myself. You hear me? I got to do this for myself. If I keep his commandments, I shall abide in his love. I'm going to dwell in the love of God if I keep his commandments.
Amen.
Even as I have kept my Father's commandments abide and abide in his love. He says, I'm abiding in that love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. There is a joy that God has for each one of us.
Amen.
Amen. And that my joy may be full. This is my commandment. Oh God, I said this the other day and it just hit me. I mean, somebody may as well just hit me upside the head with a baseball bat as hard as they could. And I said this the other day when I was preaching. And I said, oh, we embrace Acts 2:38 and we'll preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it, and preach it. And we believe it as a salvation message. But do we believe just that portion of the Bible, or do we believe it all?
All right. Amen.
Because I believe without a shadow of a doubt, this what I'm about to preach is just as important as repentance, as baptism in the wonderful, glorious name of Jesus, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. If we don't love one another, how dwelleth the love of God in us? How do we really think that we're going to be saved? Because many will call on his name and say, Lord, Lord, have we not? And he's going to say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you.
Right.
I don't know who you are.
Right. Amen.
You ain't got the same love that I had.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you today, I'm thankful that judgment day isn't today.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Hello. I said, I'm thankful today isn't judgment day. But I've got some word. I've got his word to look at the perfect law of liberty and make some adjustments in the mercy and grace of God today before that judgment comes. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I said, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And thank God for another opportunity. This morning, right now, this hour, to get it right.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. God bless you. You can be seated in the wonderful name of Jesus. Finishing that verse, it says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as, and here he says it again, as I have loved you. We have a responsibility. Nobody likes responsibility in our society anymore.
Right.
Well, let me say, most people don't like responsibility in our society anymore. They won't take responsibility for their own actions. It's everybody else's fault. Everybody else did me wrong. It's their problem. It's their attitude. It's their this. Nobody says, hey, I'm wrong.
Right.
Right.
Everybody wants to blame everybody else. If they blow up in anger, they say, well, they did that, da, da, da. No, 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 no. Just stop. Let's just all decide right now, as tough as it is, as hard as it is, let's all just take personal responsibility.
Come on.
Can we do that this morning? Can we just all take personal responsibility and say, okay, I'm going to have to ingest some things that may be a little bit difficult for me to digest today.
Yeah.
Amen. But with the help of God, he's going to give our jaws strength to chew, not to talk, to chew, and our throat to swallow.
Amen.
All right?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So y'all thinking, oh God, this is going to be a big one. It probably will be. I don't know that it's going to be over until we get it. We have a responsibility to love each other. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment of the word of the Lord. This is where I do not want to be a fraud. There are people all across this nation, across this world, that will preach messages such as I'm going to preach today, but not preach it as a commandment of the Lord. Amen. Everybody wants to love Jesus.
Preach, preach, preach.
And everybody wants Jesus to love them.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to really obey this commandment in its completeness.
Yeah.
If we are followers of Jesus, then we will love one another. More than that, we have to love one another. And this is the key. This is the key. I put emphasis on it. Don't know if you caught it or not. As Jesus loved us. I want you to remember how he loved you when you were despicable, when you were miserable, when you were undone, when you were cursing him, when you were really unlovable.
Yes.
I want to preach for a little while here today on this subject, loving the unlovable. Loving the unlovable. This doesn't mean that we love those that love us or love those that like us. There will always be people we get along better with than others. There will also always be people that will rub us the wrong way. Jesus doesn't just love those that loved him or liked him. Even when people rejected him, when they cursed him, when they have been disobedient. I know. I struggle with the same things you struggle.
Right.
I said I struggle with the same things that you struggle with. I will repeat to you again today. I am not the epitome of perfection on this subject, but I will tell you this, that God has been working on this old boy. And I want him to keep working on me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I said, I want him to keep working on me.
Right.
I want that introspective reflection. I want to see really what's on the inside. You know why? Because I want to be saved.
More
than anything else, I want to be saved. And I want to preach to people that want to be saved.
Right.
I want to preach to people that want to be saved more than anything else. And sometimes being saved, we got to deal with stuff that we don't like to deal with.
Right.
Yeah, Elder Morton talks about just deal with it. There's some things that we don't want to deal with, and we can act like the ostrich. We can act like we can cover it over and brush it over, but if we don't deal with it, it ain't never going away.
Right.
You got to deal with some things.
Yeah.
Amen. And so, we're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with ourselves. Amen. And when they cursed him, when they were disobedient, when they were most hateful, when they were most hurtful, Jesus still loved them. Hey, I said Jesus still loved them. When they spit in his face, how many of you love somebody that spit on you? And I'm not talking about when they were talking. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about despitefully spitting in their face. How many of you can say today that you love somebody that slapped you? As he loved you. Oh God, help me, Jesus. Jesus still loved them. Jesus still loved you. Jesus still loved me after all the times that I've been disobedient.
Right.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
After all the times you've been disobedient, he still loved you.
Right.
Even this past week, maybe even the past few hours, the places you've been disobedient.
Right.
You have been less than honoring in your walk with God. I've been less than honoring. Let's just face it. I told you we got to take some responsibility.
Right.
This is going to be a tall order. This is going to be a tall glass of water to drink today. But we're going to get this water down and purify ourselves.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Amen. Isn't that what he did for us? He loved us beyond all of the ways that we treated him. He loved us when we were not worthy of his love. We are not worthy of his love even now.
Right.
Yeah. Yet he loved us still.
Uh-huh.
He still loves us right now. He loves me in spite of my weakness.
Yes, yes, sir.
Yes. I said he loves me in spite of my weakness.
Right.
He loves me in spite of my frailty. He loves me in spite of my failures, my flaws.
Right.
He loves you. He loves us. And since he loved us, then we have no option but to love others in spite of their weakness, in spite of their flaws, in spite of their failures, in spite of how much they get on your nerve. Anybody ever heard that said?
Yeah.
They're on my last nerve.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what they're going to do if they know?
Yeah.
They're going to push on that last nerve just as hard as they can. Huh? Isn't that what people just do?
Yes.
Isn't that kind of the nature of people?
Yes.
Huh? Amen. Yeah. Say, Pastor, you're getting on my last nerve. No, I'm not doing it to be facetious. I'm not doing it to be nasty. I'm not doing it for any of those type of reasons. But in spite of the fact that they fail to meet our expectations. He loved us despite the fact that I don't meet his expectations. Oh, I wish somebody could help me preach. I'm going to have to do this all by myself, I guess, but
no,
I'm going to do it. I'm going to plow. Amen. He loved me despite,
right.
In spite of all of those things that I have let him down.
Yeah,
right. Yes, yes, amen. Right.
And he still loved me anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus, for loving me anyway.
Yes.
In spite of the fact that I'm not perfect, and neither are they, you still loved me anyway. So God has extended his grace to me, to you. Grace is that unmerited, undeserved favor. God, how could I even expect you to be good to me?
Right. Amen.
How could I even expect you to care for me like you do?
Yeah. Right.
How could I even expect you to love me like you do? But oh, thank you for your grace today. That unmerited, undeserved favor.
Yes, sir. Amen, amen, amen.
We are to love each other as God loved us. We also have to show grace. We have to show people favor and respect when it's undeserved.
Right.
Ouch! Ouch, Pastor! Ouch! Ouch!
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Ouch, I can't do that. Yes, you can do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, you can do that because of the Holy Ghost that's in you.
What
we don't do is we haven't trained ourselves. We haven't taught ourselves. We do the things that are easy to us, but this ain't easy. We're going to have to exercise here.
Right.
Huh? Come on. We're going to have to exercise ourselves here. It's the love of God that is shed abroad in our heart that he gives us this grace, this unmerited, undeserved favor. And because I love others, I'm going to show them the same unmerited, undeserved favor.
Yes.
Kindness.
Yes.
Respect.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
They don't deserve it. And I didn't deserve his.
Right.
But if I am his child,
right.
If I am a son of God, if, did anybody get that?
Yes.
If I am a son of God, if I am his child, I am going to portray his character.
Right.
I am going to be like him. What the scripture say? We have put on Christ. Well, I don't like that garment. I'm going to cut the sleeve off. That one doesn't work. Huh? That part of the garment doesn't work. Well, it just so happens to be that that part of the garment is interwoven in the very middle of the garment. So if you take off that part of the garment, you mess up the entire thing.
Right.
Right.
You put on Christ, you put on all of Christ. Hallelujah. So it is up to me to learn, and I know this is not natural. This is not a natural thing that comes naturally, because it's carnal flesh that doesn't want to do this. But the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God comes on us, it changes our character. It changes our attitude. It changes our perception. I see things differently. I feel things differently. I ought to act differently. I ought to talk, and everything is different.
Right.
Right? We are called to love the unlovable. The church, the body of Christ, is a place for all of us to experience unconditional love.
Right.
Amen.
The church, the body of Jesus Christ, is a place that all of us should be able to experience the unconditional love of God.
Amen.
The church is a place where people are to be loved and feel safe.
Yeah. Amen.
In spite of their imperfections.
Right. Amen. Yes. Right.
In spite of their flaws, their frailties, their issues. Oh, hallelujah. If we are able to go anywhere and be loved in spite of our imperfections, it should be here in the house of God with the people of God. Because if we have the love of God, we understand that this relationship between him and I, it's not because of righteousness that I have done. It's not because of my perfection. It's not because of my goodness that I'm here today. But it's because of his love and his mercy and his grace. And I thank God that you're here today. I want you to experience the same love, the same grace, the same mercy that I have experienced. That through all of my imperfections, through all of my flaws, he still reached to me. He still loved me. He still cares about me. Even though I'm a mess.
Even though I'm a mess.
Sat on the couch. I looked at my wife yesterday. And I said, y'all gonna make this fun. I said, honey, I'm a mess. And people don't even realize how big a mess I really am.
That's because we're all looking at our messes.
I hope. I'm a mess. I need Jesus.
Right, right.
I said, I need Jesus. I need him to love me. I need him to be patient with me. I need his kindness. I need his mercy. I need his grace. I can't do it without Jesus. Oh, God, help me.
That's right.
It is not a natural thing for us to do. The world's idea of love is to love others when they love you back. When they meet our approval, then we love him. Then we love them. We love her. We love him. We love whatever. We love them when they meet our approval, when they meet our inspection list, when they meet our standard. Oh, thank God he didn't do that with me.
Right.
Right.
Yes, amen.
I'm so thankful God didn't do that with me.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
If he would have said, I can't love you until I get this checklist marked off.
Oh, Jesus. My Lord.
I'd be in bad trouble today.
Yeah.
I said, I'd be in bad trouble today.
Yes,
I'm glad he's not looking at double list and marking everything off. But he's saying, son, this is what we need to do. This is how we need to do it. And I love you. And I'm being kind to you. And I'm being long-suffering with you. And I'm giving you some direction. And I'm leading you down some roads that they're going to be tough. They're not going to be easy to deal with. You're going to have to look at some ugliness in your life. You're going to have to deal with the ugliness of your heart.
Preach.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
You're going to have to deal with some ugliness deep down inside of you.
Help me.
I know y'all are pretty good. I know all y'all here today, way above and beyond. I'm going to tell you what, I got to deal with the ugliness.
Yes, yes, yes.
I said, I got to deal with the ugliness.
Yeah.
And then I know there's a couple of us anyhow in here that we got to deal with some ugliness on the inside of us. No matter how much we want to act like it's all pretty and act like it's all okay and act like everything is fine, there's some ugliness down on the inside of us. Because I don't love some people like I ought to love.
Bless him, Lord.
Can I be that honest?
Yes.
There's some people I don't love like he loved. Like he loves right now. I don't love them like Jesus loved them.
That's right.
Can I be that real? Can I be that honest? Can you be that honest? Can you be that honest with the ugly part of yourself that you don't want nobody to know, and you got all prettied up, and you got your foo-foo smell on, and you got your shoes shined, and you got everything all together, you got your hair combed just right? There's some ugliness on the inside of you. God's idea of loving others is because he sees value in them.
Yes.
He saw value in me.
Hallelujah.
And sometimes I got to sit back and say, where did you see the value? But oh, God has a way of looking deeper beyond the flaw, beyond the sin, beyond the warp, beyond all the imperfections.
Yes, yes.
And he said, there's some value there. And there's value in people, and we got to see that value in people that only God can see sometimes. God, help me to love like you loved. Because I'm having a hard time, God, loving this person. I'm having a hard time seeing some value there. But if I don't, learn how to do this, God, the fact of the matter is I'm disobedient to your word. And let's just be real. If I'm not obeying your commandment by loving them, I'm disobedient to your word. And I cannot be disobedient to your word. Therefore, I'm in sin. And if I'm in sin, I have to either repent or stubbornly, obstinately go on in my sin and be lost.
Yeah.
And that's ugly truth. I said, that's the ugly truth. That's the ugly truth. Because if I don't, I'm disobedient. And if I'm disobedient, I'm in sin. And if I'm in sin, I gotta repent. And if I don't repent, I'm gonna be lost.
Right.
Me. Me. I'm gonna be lost. I'm gonna be lost. I refuse to be lost. So if I refuse to be lost, then God, you've got to help me learn how to love them. You've got to help me, God, learn how to love them. I don't know how to love them. They're unlovable right now. I don't see any value, but God, you saw value in me, and so help me to see value in them. The natural thing to do when someone is hurtful, when someone is disregarding, is to respond in kind, or to seek revenge. Nowhere in the scripture was I called to seek revenge. Nowhere was I called to be justified in my own cause. But everywhere I see in the scripture, I am commanded to love them.
Right.
If we respond in anger, we are only going to bring more anger. The law of sowing and reaping applies both good and evil, because loving the unlovable is not natural for me. Loving the unlovable is not natural for you. It is not natural for us. We must rely on the power of Almighty God to help us. I've got to love them, and the only way I can get it to my spirit is through the power of the Holy Ghost. I cannot them like God does, but it has to be through His Spirit in order for me to love them. Hope you're hearing me today.
Yes.
Matthew 22 and 36 said, Master, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart.
Ow.
Oh man, we get all excited and all pumped. And how many of us would even, now some of you ain't going to raise your hand because you know it's a trap, and I ain't trying to be a trap. But you understand what I'm saying. Oh man, we can say, do you love the Lord with all your heart? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We can all get excited and shout and do a little jig. Yeah, I love the Lord with all my heart. Do you love Him with all your soul? Yeah! I love Him with all my soul. Do you love Him with all your mind? Woo! Yeah, I do. Come on. You ain't doing it now because you know. But if I would have started it right there, you would have done just that. He said, this is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like, it's like he said, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's don't get jumping off right there. We got to keep on moving. He said, and. That's a conjunction. It keeps these two thoughts together. It pulls them together. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Woo. Shout now. Shout now. Woo! Yeah, I love Him with all my heart, mind, soul, strength, everything that's in me. Love your neighbor. What? Are you kidding me? Oh, Jesus. Shout now, brother. Shout now, sister. Oh, see, we want to shout. We want to act all victorious. And really, can I be bloody honest with you?
Yeah.
Yes.
We're frauds. We're frauds. We're being fraudulent. Hello?
Come on.
Right.
That's fraud. Shout, you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Neighbor, forget it. That's fraudulent. That's not the same Jesus of this Bible.
Yeah.
You say, well, you've done it then. You're a fraud. Yeah? And I'm repenting of my fraudulency.
Amen.
God, forgive me. I don't want to be a fraud. I'm telling you, I pray, and I sought God. And these are some things that He's pointing out. You can't be a fraud. You can't be a fake. You can't be a phony.
Right. All right.
Yeah. You got to love those people. You know what? It's easy. Hey. Everyone, I love every single one of you. I'm looking around seeing who I don't like. It's easy. I'm telling you right now before God, I love every single one of you. But the ones that I'm struggling with ain't here. And you know what? It's very possible that you feel the same way I do. Well, you know what, Pastor? You're right. Everybody in this house, I love them. And you're thinking, well, why is he preaching this? I love everybody in this building. What about the ones that ain't here?
All right.
I said, what about the ones that ain't here? What about the mama and the daddy or the uncle or the aunt? What about that friend, that co-worker? What about this one or that one? What about them? Now see, you already put that little wall up there, that little partition, and acted like it wasn't there, and acted like there wasn't an issue there. Quit lying to yourself. You know what? That's what I had to tell myself. Quit lying to yourself and saying it's okay when it's not okay.
That's right. Yeah.
Who's that hurting, boy? It's hurting you. It ain't hurting nobody else.
That's right.
It's hurting you. It's damaging your heart. It's damaging your mind. It's damaging your spirit.
Yeah.
It ain't hurting nobody else trying to fake that wall. It hurt nobody else. And then he said, he didn't stop there. He said, love, heart, mind, soul, all that kind of stuff. He said, the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, on these two commandments, on these two things, hang all of the law and the prophets.
Oh,
you get that, Brother D?
Yes, sir.
Acts 2:38 hangs on that one. You hear what I just said? Acts 2:38 hangs on that one, you ain't got nothing.
Right.
You say, oh, pastor, some of your brains are going, you're preaching false doctrine. I ain't preaching no false doctrine. That's what Jesus said upon these two commandments.
Right.
Hang all of the law and the prophets. Everything is attached right here.
Right.
Everything that you hope for, every promise in the book, everything that you long for, every healing, every deliverance, every joy, every peace, everything hangs. How many promises in the book are mine? But they hang on these. And if these two are broken, how can I reach for the joy?
Right.
How can I depend on the peace? How can I expect deliverance? How can I expect healing for my body, my soul, my emotions, if I don't have the first two that everything hangs on? God help me, Jesus. I can go ahead and preach fraudulently and say, oh, come on, rejoice. Oh, get excited. Oh, clap your hands. Oh, shout for the victory. That's what's happening. That is what's happening. We can shout all night. Praise. Blah, blah, blah. You said, pastor, you're down in that. No, but we got to get back to something that's foundational, where all the shout and all the praise is just empty fluff. It has no meaning. It has no purpose. It's a love relationship that we have with Jesus that will empower us to love others the same way that He loved us. Yeah, it's hard for me to swallow. I am not going to try to fake it. I am not going to try to tell you that this is easy. This is hard. But I'm going to tell you, today as I stand before you and before God, I got more joy today because of what I'm preaching. I got more deliverance today because of what I'm preaching. Because I found something here.
Yes,
sir. I found something here and I started applying it quite a while ago, and I've been putting it to action. I've been putting it in place, and I've been thinking and going over, and I've been really in exam looking at God. And I got more joy today, and I got more peace today, and I got to tell you, I got more love today. Even while just recently, as less than just a few days ago, rocks were being thrown at me. And I was just told this morning while I was preparing, I was told, it's okay. I told the other individual that told me about it, I said, you know what? Whatever you can do to help him, he's got to be saved. Help him, love him, do whatever you can to help him. It took a lot to type. It wasn't the easiest thing in the world. But as I punched that text back in, my wife said, what'd you say? I told her. You gotta be saved. Throw the rock. You gotta be saved. Some names in the Bible make us think of certain characteristics, even sins. I know this is Bible study. This is a little bit more intense. It's going to take a little bit longer. I apologize, but that's just the way it is. I apologize. You know what I mean. I'm not intentionally making things just drag out. Example, Judas's betrayal. Thomas's doubting. Jezebel was a loose woman. Then there's another one that I want to bring out. I can name tons. But I was reading, and I saw this, so let me quickly go through this. And that is by the name of Shimei. Anybody know who Shimei is? Anybody remember Shimei? You're probably going, yeah, I remember the name, but I can't remember all the details. Okay, let's talk about him for a little while. I'm going to tell you, Shimei had dead dog disease. DDD. He had dead dog disease. Let me preach to you about it for a minute. You remember, go down through some history. So I'm going to do this really quick. I'm going to do this really quick, and I wrote it, so just bear with me. Remember the story of King David? Of course, we all do. The people desired a king, and eventually the Lord let them have their way. The people chose who they thought had the right attributes for a great king, and they chose Saul because he was bigger, his head and shoulders above everybody else. He was this and so on and so forth, so they thought that was who their king would be. We know that God chose David to be king after Saul, and that Samuel went to anoint him, and after this, David was taken into Saul's house, and he became his armor bearer, and he played music to soothe Saul when he was upset, when he was frustrated. Then along comes this whole story of David killing Goliath, and then Saul becomes very jealous. He throws a couple spears at David, tries to kill him. Eventually, David had to flee into the wilderness in order to escape his pursuit. Saul tried to hunt him down and tried to kill him over and over again. Twice, David had Saul at his mercy. Twice, he refused to kill him or even touch him. Saul, at one time, David cut off Saul's clothing to show him just what he could have done, how he could have easily killed him. And even doing that, man, David, what a man you were. Get this. He did it without the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Some of us can't even act like David did with the Holy Ghost. David cut off that piece of garment, and after he started doing that, he's like, you know what? Saul, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yes, he did.
Yes, sir.
Saul, I shouldn't even have done this.
Right.
Yeah.
Saul, would you forget? Saul is chasing him like a dog.
Yes,
right. And he said, I shouldn't even have done this, Saul. Do you realize that David was loyal, but he was not blindly loyal? He saw the flaw, but he was still loyal. He could have taken revenge, but he did not. That's real loyalty.
Right.
Loyalty is not being blind and just following the blind as they go on.
Right.
No, you can see where it's wrong, but still be loyal to the individual.
Yeah.
David was loyal to Saul, but not blindly loyal. That's a message for another day. After Saul died, David becomes king. Then he had a problem with his own children. His son Absalom tried to take the kingdom from him. He almost succeeded. And when his own life was threatened, David asked Joab, the captain of the army. When he talks to Joab about it, he said, Joab, oh man, here Absalom is doing some horrible things to his daddy.
Right.
And he tells Joab, deal gently with my son for my sake. Not because he ought that, so not because he deserves gentleness, not because he deserves mercy, but deal gently with him because for me.
Right, yeah.
I believe with all of my heart that God wants us to do the same thing and says to some of us, deal gently with them. I love them.
Right.
Precious Jesus.
And they only can see me through you.
Yeah.
Deal gently with them.
Bless him. Bless him.
Precious.
you are. This is going way over your head. You're not even listening. You're dejected. I don't know what's going on with your brain. I don't know what's going on. But oh God, my soul, my soul. I can see God saying to some of us and saying, hey, that's my baby. Deal gently with them. That's my son. That's my... I died for that man. I died for that woman. Deal gently with them. I love them. I don't. But you don't understand. I died for them. You did it.
Yes.
Man, I don't know about you, but that strikes me to the core. That gets me to the very, that touches me to the very quick of me. That gets deep on the inside of me. It's like I can hear God saying, deal gently with them. I died for them. You didn't, Derek Newman. You didn't die for them, but I did. Deal gently with them for my sake. Derek Newman, love them for my sake. Be cautious with them for my sake. Be gracious with them for my sake. Anybody feel that burden? Anybody feel that burden? Be careful for my sake. I died for them. You didn't die for them, but I did. I shed blood for them. I shed blood for them so they didn't have to be lost. I'm not willing that any should perish. I know you can care less if they go to hell. You can care less if they die and were lost forever. But you didn't die for them. Anybody hearing me today? You didn't die for them, but Jesus did. You can care less and say they deserve hell. No, they don't. They don't deserve hell. But it's going to be up to us to love them. It's going to be up to us to love them like he loved them. But they did this to me and they did that to me. They're wrong here, they're wrong there. I know. Jesus didn't deserve a crown of thorns he patted on his head. And Jesus didn't deserve those nails to be driven into his hands.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Jesus didn't deserve it for his back to be ripped apart. And I know, I understand, I get it. You didn't deserve to be talked about. You didn't deserve to be lied on. I get it. I know it's not fair. I know it's not fair, brother. I know it's not fair, sister. It's not fair that they lied on you. And some are in this house even right now lying on other people in the church, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're gossiping, you're texting, you're Snapchatting, you're doing all kinds of garbage that should have been done, and shame on you. And that's somebody you're supposed to love. And you're the ones that I'm talking about too. You think you're all pious and all good and all perfect? Forget it. Get off of your own self. There's nobody good but God. Quit thinking you're so perfect. Quit thinking you got it all together. You ain't got it all together. Ain't none of us got it together. It's by the sheer mercies and grace of God that I'm here today.
Right.
So I beg of you on behalf of God, I beg of you on behalf of God, love them like he does. You didn't die for them. You didn't shed any blood. You didn't bear any pain. You didn't bear any grief. I don't care what they've done to you. I don't care how bad they treated you. I don't care what they said about you. You didn't take one stripe. You didn't take one pluck of a beard. You didn't take one smack on a face. You didn't take a nail. You didn't take cruel mockery. He did. He did. He did. He did. If don't do that, please be gentle. David made mistakes, but when he heard mourned. He wept. David made mistakes because David was human. Listen to me. David was human, just like me, just like you, just like everybody. He made mistakes. He did try to do what was right and proper. He refused to kill Saul because he recognized that Saul was king. Even though David himself had been chosen by God, anointed by Samuel, that didn't matter. He could have got arrogant. He could have got pompous. He could have got all beside himself and said, hey, God did this and God put me here. God did. Oh, look at his humility. Oh, please forgive me of my folly today. I'm just preaching the burden of the Lord. Just trying to preach the burden of the Lord. David was certainly blameless at Saul's death, and even though he should have dealt with Absalom sooner, he still showed absolute mercy. He didn't deserve that treachery. That all comes down to, you say, well, what about Shimei, Pastor? That's what I'm trying to get to. Shimei had that dead dog disease in 2 Samuel 16. He said, when the King David came, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Greer. And he came forth and he cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of the King David, and all the people and the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in this mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Shimei threw rocks. He heaped verbal abuses on him. Called David a worshiper of Belial. He said that God was punishing him because of the death of Saul. He said, God just went on and on and on. He said, the kingdom is Absalom's. All these lies. And David just took it. All these lies. It's not right. It's not fair. That's not true. And he took it. Another rock. Another rock. Another lie. Another false accusation. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said unto the king, why should this dead dog curse the Lord my king? He called him a dead dog. He called him a dead dog. He said, let me go over, I pray thee. Take off his hand. Shimei was suffering from dead dog disease. He was attacking the king. He was attacking God's leader. He was attacking him with all these false accusations, all these hurtful words. And it was all at the time that David was the lowest point of his life. Isn't it amazing? It seems you can't get any lower than somebody just comes over there and somebody just comes over and crushes you some more. Whew. David's no longer a young man. He's older now. He's apparently lost his kingdom. His people have turned on him. His own son is trying to kill him and take over. And here's this dead dog, Shimei, as he just attacks him verbally. Abishai says, let me take his head off, David. How many of us would have said, here, Abishai, take my sword, use it. How many of us would have said, make it hurt. Go there, kid, get him. But David didn't do that. He didn't do that. Here is a man, and this is what is most amazing to me, is this man did not have the Holy Ghost like I have. and yet with such integrity. Before Jesus even spoke the words, "Revile not again," David was living in the place of the law that said, "Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, life for life." But David had something on his spirit that went way deeper than revenge. David really, if I can say it this way, was in this aspect, was a man before his time. He had a relationship and a touch with God that said, "No, I'm not going to do that." David had refused to respond in anger. And what he did is a lesson for all of us to learn on how to love the way God does. In closing, I want to make 5 points. And one is that I want you to remember that you need mercy too. All of us have weaknesses. And it is so easy. Oh God, forgive me. It is so very easy to point out everybody else's weaknesses, but when it comes to mine, when it comes to my weaknesses, I'm so blind. When it comes to my issues, I can't see myself. You know why? Because you're so busy looking at everybody else. You're so busy with the mirror not turned this way, but this way. Remember, you need mercy too. All of us have weaknesses. All of us have made mistakes. There's not one of us that hasn't been treated in some way, shape, or form wrongly at some time. Is that true here this morning? Hasn't everybody suffered wrong?
Right?
And all of us, I believe that all of us can raise our hand and say, "That wasn't fair." And you know what? You're probably right. It wasn't fair. You didn't deserve this. I just want to make sure that I remind us today, neither did Jesus.
Right.
Yes. 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 Yes.
1 John chapter 1 verse 8 said, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in me." I can't look at myself in the mirror. Be honest with me. Oh God, help me not to be looking at everybody else. Look at me. And I say, I got it all together. The truth is not in us. If we confess, you see, there's conditions on all of this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, help me to look into the perfect law of liberty today and make some confession. See the ugliness of the condition of my heart, the places I need to change. The second thing is, remember that God is faithful. While David was being attacked, 2 Samuel 16 again, and he says, "It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction and that the Lord will requite my good for his cursing this day. He'll turn back. Maybe the Lord will look on my affliction today, but this isn't about Shimei. It's about me and you, God. You see what's going on here, God. And you know, God, help me right now, Jesus. You know what's going on here, God. And maybe you'll turn back and you'll turn some good on this whole situation. Maybe you'll make this all good. You'll make this all right. I'm depending on you, God. What a lesson to learn.
Yes.
While he was yet being afflicted, God, maybe some good can come out of this. Help me to learn that lesson. I know some of you cursed it. You cursed that day. How can anything good come out of this? That's not the way David did it. He said, God, maybe some good can come out of this somewhere. Let something good come out of all this pain. Let something good come out of all these lies. Let something good come out of all this hurt. God even wrote a psalm. Psalm 3. When he was running from Absalom, he said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. God, so all this stuff is happening. All this is happening. God, you're going to have to help me lift up my head.
Yes.
You're the one that's going to give me strength.
Jesus. Yes,
Lord.
Yes,
Lord. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid down and slept. I waked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, and thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. The third thing is, remember God's promises. If someone upsets us, instead of focusing on that, we need to focus on the many promises. And I've got to tell you today, I've smacked the table, I've punched the wall. It's not fair, God! Don't act like you ain't done it. Well, I ain't punched no wall. That's just plain stupid. Okay, maybe you ain't punched the wall. Maybe you're smarter than me. But you felt like punching it.
Yeah.
That ain't fair. That ain't right. Then you want to say, how can you say I just need to depend on the promises of God? Because God is faithful. Because God is faithful. It's not he sometimes, he is. He is faithful.
All the time.
That's his character. That's who he is. He can't be unfaithful. He can't be unfaithful. Hebrews 13 said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I be honest with somebody here right now and say, there's been a time or two that I really despise that scripture. And I've even had somebody say it. One of the worst times that I thought of my life. But you know, brother, the Bible said, you'll never leave us nor forsake us, and I want to scream. Then why do I feel all alone? Why am I hurting so bad? Why do I feel like everybody has forsaken me? The ones that should love me. I understand. Somehow, if I can clear my head through all the fog, I gotta know that God, even though everybody left you, forsook you, denied you, ran off, oh, you're faithful, you're faithful, you're faithful. We know that all things work together. Oh, that scripture. Yeah, that scripture. You know how many times I've had somebody throw that in my face when I've been dealing with trouble and I've been dealing with trial? You know how many times I've said that to somebody that's been dealing with it? Yeah. I liked it when I wasn't in trouble. Isn't that amazing? Well, it's a good scripture for me to give you when you're facing trouble. All things are going to work together really good. But when it came back to me, I'm like, shut up. Me. I'm sorry, I'm just being real. Yeah, I thought I'd have punched your teeth out. Don't tell me all things are working together for the good.
Yeah.
Can't you see the blood dripping off of me? My heart's hanging out, my guts are all over the floor. I'm a mess. I'm hurting. I'm full of pain and anguish, and you're going to try to convince me that all things are going to work together. But remember, it's a promise not of man, it's a promise of God. I'm going to work. I'm going to work. No temptation taking you such as not is common to man, but God is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Ever been there? I can't take it anymore. Anybody gonna be honest enough and slip their hand up and say, says that. Matter of fact, I'm saying it right now. Can't take it anymore, Pastor. Said that he is who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that ye are able. In other words, he said, I got you. I'm not going to put more on you than you can do. And sometimes I just have to sit back. It was a few months ago. I just sat back and I sat in this auditorium and I just wept and I cried and I said, God, you said you'd never put more on me than I can bear. You must think an awful lot of me, because I think I'm about ready to throw in the towel and quit. I feel like I'm done. I'm not going anymore. I quit. Pastor? Yeah. Go in and pinch me. I'll say ouch. I promise you I'm flesh. Can do this because he said he's not going to put more on you than you're able, but he's going to make a way of escape. You can bear it. You're going to come out stronger. You're going to come out better. You're going to come out wiser. I know I don't see it now. And there have been plenty of situations that I've had to reach back in the past and say, I learned a lesson there, and I got to know that God, he's teaching me something right now. I can't see all that it is. I don't know all that's going on, but I know something good. God is faithful. Would you stand? The fourth thing is accept people as they are. Come on. Come on, accept people as they are. There's a big difference between acceptance and approval. When you accept someone, it doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything. It doesn't mean that you approve of everything that they do. It means that you recognize that they're valuable. There it is again. I want to drill it right into your brain again. Acceptance is realizing they're valuable. They got some value. Don't have to approve of everything. Don't have to agree with everything. But there's some value. Why? Because God said there's value. Because God sees value. Oh. Wherefore receive ye one another. In another version that says accept one another as Jesus accepted you. No, he never leaves us the same way. Yes, we come as we are, but he never leaves us the same way. He accepts us when we first come, but he says, all right, now we got this friendship relationship going. Let's work together. The fifth thing is, don't add fuel to the fire. I know we've heard it said before, fight fire with fire. And the only thing that I can think of that is the appropriate and right thing to do is in a wild land firefighting situation. We would set back fires to make a fire go out. And I cannot think of any other time where fighting fire with fire makes sense. Jesus said, bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. That word bless is eulogio. So we get our word eulogy. It means to speak well of a person, to invoke a blessing. Sometimes it may not be possible to live at peace with someone who doesn't like you or you don't have a good relationship with. But Jesus said, bless them. Invoke a blessing on them while they're cursing you. God bless them. I'm going to tell you when you really begin to understand the depth of what I'm trying to preach, when I'm saying loving the unlovable and loving those that really aren't loving you back, it's easy for me. And there's so I can love y'all today, and I'm not preaching that. I'm not preaching this because of my love towards you and your love towards me. That's all fine and dandy. But it's those that don't love me. It's those that are cursing me. It's those that are despitefully using me. Those that are ragging on me, it's those that are lying on me. I gotta love them. I gotta love them. We're not responsible. I'm not responsible for what they say. I'm not responsible for what they do. But I am responsible. And here we come. We're full circle now. You got it? But I am responsible for what I do. I am responsible for what I say. I can't do anything about what he says. I can't do anything about what she says. What they think, I can't do one thing about it. All I can do is take responsibility right here. All I can do is take responsibility right here. All we can do is do our part to try and heal the relationship. Some people may refuse that reconciliation and even hate you. Just don't add fuel to the fire. Try to do what you can to reconcile. Try to do what you can. Pray. That's what Jesus did. Nailed him to a cross. Blood dripping. Dripping down that cross, soaking the ground. Hanging there, gasping for breath. He cries out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Can you name that person today? Put a name there. I'm talking about coming to a place of repentance and saying, Jesus, forgive this person. Forgive him. I love him, God, like you did. Forgive him. have the courage to do that today? Do you have the courage? Do you have what it takes to be that real and deal with the ugliness of your own self and say, Jesus, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your mother, maybe it's your daddy, maybe it's your pastor. And you sitting there going, I don't know what to do. Can you cry out? Say, Pastor, I can't even believe you said it's your pastor. We don't understand something sometimes. Sometimes God's working something on the inside of us. God's testing our metal. He's testing our strength. Can you pray? Can you pray? Oh, Jesus, forgive my mama. Jesus, forgive my daddy. I want him saved more than anything. Forgive my friend. Forgive my spouse. Even though we're divorced, we're separated, we've been estranged for so many years, God forgive them, because I got this ugliness on the inside of me that kills me every day. I gotta deal with it. I gotta deal with the ugliness. I know that rubbed you wrong. I know that rubbed you wrong, but I'm still way, way right in the Word of God today. Jesus said, love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. I end it with a promise. Your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. Let me just say this. Some of us want to say right there, we say, the scripture said, love your enemies. That enemy means those that are hostile, those that are adverse, those that are passively odious and opposing to us. Now put that name there. Now put that name there. Now put that name there. See, we only want to think of an enemy being bad, wicked. No. Simple adversity, simple hostility, passively odious, opposing. There's some of us here today, I know I am preaching to you. I'm trying everything I can to help you today. You have got to, there's divorces in this building that you absolutely hate your ex. You despise their very name. Pastor, that's not fair. Yeah, it is fair. If you want to go to heaven, yes, it is fair. If you want to go to heaven, yes, it is fair. If your ex is not saved and they are lost and they go to hell, you really okay with that? If your mama is, if your daddy is, are you really okay with that? I don't care what they done. I don't care what they said. It doesn't matter. I got a commandment of the Lord. I got a commandment. I feel as much a burden as I heard the word. Repent and be baptized. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. I got a commandment. Then you'll be a child of the Most High. Oh, we want to brag about being a child of God right now. Take care of business right now. Come on, some of y'all are scared. Get out of your pew. Get out of your pew. Stop being so stuck on yourself. Stop being so pious. Don't let your pride and your arrogance stand in the way. Don't let stupidity keep you from doing what's right now. Say, Pastor, that's me. No, come on. We got to be saved. Come on, we got to be saved. people in our world that we adamantly are opposed to, and we don't want to stare it in the face and deal with it. There ought to be a cry going up in this house of great sincerity right now. Oh, Father, forgive me. Oh, Father, forgive them. Part of forgiving them is you forgiving me. God, I can't be forgiven of you until I forgive them. Do you realize the severity of the Word of God today? He cannot forgive you unless you are willing to forgive them. It's His Word. He cannot go against His Word. Do you really want to be saved? Do you really want to be saved? Do you really want to be saved? Oh yes, I want to be saved more than anything. 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 Come on. Let's get rid of all the pretenses. Let's get rid of all the falsehood. Let's not be fraudulent right now. Let's not deceptive right now. There's no place for deception right here. There's no place for deception. Be real. Be real with yourself. Be real with yourself. Be real. Love the unlovable. Love the unlovable. Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter how much they've sinned. Doesn't matter the lies. Doesn't matter the rocks. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Oh Jesus, you love me through all of my imperfections. You love me through all of my faults and my failures. You love me still, God. Even though I'm not 100% right now, even myself, God, you love me. You love me. You love me. Help me to love those. Help me to love those. Come on, cry out. Oh God, come on, will you do that today? God, have mercy on this person. God, have mercy on my husband. God, have mercy on my wife. God, have mercy on my mama. God, have mercy on my daddy. God, have mercy. God, have mercy on my pastor. God, have mercy on my friend. God, have mercy on my son. God, have mercy on my daughter. They've hurt me deeply. They've come against me here and there. But God, have mercy on them. God, touch them. God, bless them. God, save them, Lord. Save them. Save them. Save them, Jesus.
I need your mercy.